Good morning and welcome to Emmanuel this morning. It's great to be here worshiping in the house of our Lord. We have a few announcements this morning. Just wanted you to please pray for Siska DeYoung's family. She's lost both her aunt and uncle in the span of 1 week due to the results of the COVID virus. And we just ask that you keep their children of this couple in your prayer as well as they deal with the loss of both their parents. Just not only this time of year, but so close together as well. Also, the words of hope are in at the back, so please take a copy home with you today. And Christmas Day service, we are holding a Christmas Day service at 10:30 on Friday, December 25th. We will be partaking in communion during the service. So any offerings received in the offering box at Christmas will go to Gate 316. But please make your checks out to Emmanuel Reformed Church. And I just, for your information, there are some more announcements and things like that. You could follow up in your bulletin as well. Let us come before God and ask for a blessing on this service this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, King of glory, love eternal, you are worthy of all our praise at all times to receive our adorations and our blessings. And we praise you, Father, for sending your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, for whom our hearts wait, and to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, be honored and dominion now and forever and ever. While we wait, send your Spirit so that we may grow in grace and prepare us for your coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to follow along. In anticipation, we gather. We gather, too, for the coming of the good news into the world and into our lives. O God, open the doors to our hearts that this year we may have the room for the birth of Jesus. In times of waiting, let true worship begin in our hearts. I would invite Harry and Helen Zylster forward.
The Advent wreath helps us to recollect the miracle of God's becoming human for our sake. It is decked with greenery, causing us to remember the newness of life we have in Christ Jesus. The first candle reminds us of the prophet's hope for God's salvation to come. The second candle reminds us of the angel's song of peace for all the earth. The third candle reminds us of the joy of the shepherds as they heard the good news of Jesus' arrival. The fourth candle reminds us of the great love of God showed us in the sending Jesus to save us. As we are told in John's Gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We will now sing Love Has Come, which is in the hymn book number 256.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together with the help of God the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on Christmas Day. We come to the table to commune with our Lord. We come in awe and reverence, for the place where we stand is holy ground. Here the Lord offers us the manna of life. If we are to experience this celebration with our Lord and be nourished by the Spirit, let us examine ourselves first, then eat the bread and drink from the cup. The benefit is great if with penitent hearts and living faith we receive the Lord's Supper. Let us acknowledge our sin before our merciful God with full intention of amending our lives. Let us make restitution for all injuries and wrongs done to others. Let us forgive those who have offended us, as we ourselves have been forgiven. All children of the covenant, be reconciled with one another, and then come joyfully to the banquet. If you are in need of help and counsel, then go and open yourself to a wise, discreet, and understanding brother or sister in the faith and confess your sin. Receive spiritual counsel so that you may experience assurance of God's pardon and strengthening of your faith.
Today we celebrate that Jesus our Lord came to earth as a human, just like us, but without sin. When peace comes from knowing that Jesus came, let us confess our sins and be forgiven. Let us all pray together. God of salvation, in Christ you have done great things. Our hearts are filled with joy. By your power you have lifted us out of the wasteland of sin and brought us with joy and laughter into your kingdom. Salvation is your gift to us, but we confess that we often try to replace your gift with our own efforts. We try to complete what is already perfect. We try to add what is already full. We try to earn what we already have. Forgive us for our foolishness. Help us to focus on your grace. Help us to live grateful lives in return. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Our assurance of salvation comes from Jeremiah 33, 14 to 16, where we read, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises that I have made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah shall be saved and be called, the Lord is our righteousness." People of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose coming we announce is our season of righteousness. In Christ, we are made right with God. Does the Lord permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished?
Certainly not. God is terribly angry with the city of the Lord, as well as his kingdom through the person. As the judge of the Lord, and the eternity, heaven and earth, whose mercy is very well, and is not observed, and they obey all the things which we've been told of God.
But isn't God also merciful?
God is certainly merciful, but also just. God has justice and has sin, and is to use
Let us come before God in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Loving, merciful God, God of hope, God of life, God of love, we rejoice this morning that you became flesh and made your dwelling among us. Even as we wait for your return, and we wait, O God, we long for your return. How we praise you for the promises of your word. How we praise you that you have called us unto you as we learn and desire to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How thankful we are, O Heavenly Father, for the promise of your word, that you are near to all who come into your presence. It's in those deep recesses of our heart, O God, that we are truthful before you, and may we draw near to you, O God, with a sincere heart. Forgive us, O God, when we're not honest with who we really are and not being honest of what we really are. Change each one of us, O God, from the inside out. Captivate our hearts, Heavenly Father, as we approach the celebration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a privilege, what joy we have in our lives that we can come with confidence to approach you with every need, every longing, every disappointment, every heartache. But today, O God, we pray that our hope is not in you alone. We draw us nearer to you, for only you can deliver us from the things that keep us distant from you. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you will deliver us from the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, of things that choke out your word from our hearts. Deliver us, Heavenly Father, from selfish living for the love of comfort, making us increasingly aware of how Jesus would serve and respond to those around us. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning as COVID continues to force the government to make tougher restrictions, and that as we approach the day of celebration of a birth and Lord and Savior, we pray, Father, that all will be wise in the decisions they make to celebrate this wonderful day. We pray, Heavenly Father, for families who are out of work. We pray for our doctors, our nurses, all care providers, all frontline workers. Father, you've placed each of them in their very lives in harm's way. And Father, we think of so many people that are struggling. We think of families. We think of the DeYoung family that have lost their parents. We think of those, Father, that we don't know that have lost loved ones, family members. Father, we thank you for all doctors, nurses, and we praise you for the calling that you've placed in their lives. But we do ask for a blessing on each of them, a measure of grace, O God, to sustain them. Father, as the government continues to talk about a dark winter coming, Father, we pray for those who are lonely. We think of the hurting, the sick, those in long-term care who are unable to see family. Father, we pray for our government who has to make these difficult decisions. Father, we just pray that you will give them wisdom and you will guide them in their decisions. But with all our requests, O God, we pray for the church worldwide, that it may be all that Christ has called us to be. Father, allow us to be creative, inventive during these times of COVID. May we be able to offer the hope that others too may come to know you and your love. We pray, O God, for the leadership here at Emmanuel. We pray that you will continue to use them for your glory. Continue to guide them, O God, in their work. Continue to provide that this, your church, may be a beacon of hope to all those who ask of the hope in the lives of your people. We pray, O God, make us bold in our response of joy and hope in our lives. In our moments of doubt, in our moments of fear and of worries, O God, give us your shelter that we may abide constantly in your shadow. May nearness to you be our very life. May we truly live, having our very being in you alone. We pray this all in the name of the one who taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I would invite you to join together and we really look forward to the day where we can rip our masks off and really belt our hymns out, although we can't at this moment. But let us join together and sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles, where you will be reading from the book of Matthew, reading from chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And before we read God's holy word, let us pray. God of the universe, reveal to us in holy scriptures through the writings of the prophets and the preaching of John the Baptist. You have called us to prepare our hearts for your visitation. Reveal us now to hear your word and to respond as faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. I think the goal of many people today is to be famous. I believe that's something that young people often dream about being rich, about being famous. You know, something about celebrity endorsements. You can influence sportswear, soft drinks, even our elected officials. And when I was a young man growing up, I often thought that would be a pretty neat thing to do. I often thought, you know what, when I'm going to go out, I want to go out and make my mark on the world. You know, change it for the better. Make my fortune. When I was young, I wanted to be that famous guy everybody talked about. But the older I get, reality sets in life. My thinking has kind of changed. I just want to be a great husband. I want to be a really good father to my kids. I want to be successful in my vocation. And yet, as age starts creeping in and the older I get, I want to finish really well. In Joseph's days, men did not desire prestige. They desired a good reputation. The decision to stand by Mary and for God, for Joseph, would not be an easy decision to make or a choice to make. We learn through his story that when we trust and obey God, he mysteriously unfolds a plan for our lives and the purpose of our lives for us. And in that case, in the case of Jesus, it is for the whole world. Joseph. He's so often thought as the forgotten man at Christmas. Joseph was the chosen man to be the adoptive father of our Lord. He was the one who protect the infancy of the Savior of the world. And yet, in the Word of God, Joseph stands silent. Joseph is spoken to. He is spoken about. But not one single syllable crosses his lips. He's often viewed as many as what they would call a bit player. He's sort of the extra who stands in the Christmas story. Often so many Christmas messages, and guilty as charged, we focus on the shepherds. We focus on the gifts of the wise men. We focus on Mary, but I truly believe that we are missing something on our Advent journey if we don't spend a little time on Joseph. So for me, and I don't know about you, but this is probably the first message I've ever preached on or heard about. It's the first message on Joseph. According to Matthew's genealogy, Joseph was a potential king. You see, he is seen as a person of royal blood. Although it's trickled down and it's getting quite thin, he is of royal blood. And yet we know very little about him. He appears on the scene for a moment in Scripture, and then Joseph disappears. Judging by Mary's sacrifice of two turtle doves, we assume that Joseph is a poor man. We know that he's a carpenter. And as such, if you're a carpenter, then you would be described as a practical man. I suspect Joseph, and I'm taking some liberties here, but as a carpenter, he would like to have the feel of the wood and the stone. He would have satisfaction of building something that would be seen as sound and useful. And yes, we could envision, like Mary as well, that he would envision an ordinary and orderly life. He would pursue his craft. As all men, they would seek to maintain a good name in the community. He would attend synagogue regularly as a Jew, as a good Jew, and then raise his family. You should know that in the Jewish culture, unlike our own, it is the groom who's the focus of the wedding. And Joseph would have looked forward to that celebration and the simple life that followed of taking Mary as his wife and then raising a family. I kind of like to say this tongue in cheek, yet the carpenter would be fashioning a well-constructed life. But after the angel of the Lord Gabriel told Mary that she would conceive by the means of the Holy Spirit and bear the Messiah, Mary leaves town. She didn't tell Joseph about the visit from the angel. Luke 1, 39 and 40 says, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it is then Elizabeth spoke out in a loud voice, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. Blessed is she who is promised to the Lord that would fulfill his promises to her. In Luke 1, 42 and 45. But soon after, Joseph discovers Mary's baby. We read about Joseph's discovery of Mary's baby in Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. As with his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Though engaged, there was no physical union. Yet Mary is with child. How do you explain that? It's probable that her parents neither understood nor they would have accepted Mary's story. But according to Matthew 1:18, the betrothal agreement had been signed. Dowry gifts at that time had been given. Friends and relatives knew of the couple's espousal. And then Joseph discovers Mary's baby. The dilemma over Mary's baby. Matthew 1:19 says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make Mary a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He was going to divorce her. He was going to break off the betrothal. Joseph desired to shield Mary for public shame and decided quietly to divorce her. According to Jewish law, Mary could have been stoned. Perhaps in Joseph's mind, he must have concluded that perhaps Mary had committed adultery. But Mary is a godly woman and would never violate her purity in their engagement. Perhaps there had been another sort of discretion. A third option was that Mary had been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, just as she had said. Joseph was a devout man. He was a Hebrew. And surely he pondered the fact that the Messiah was to be born in the house of David. What was he to do? Not to divorce Mary might represent a failure on his part to uphold the spirit of the Jewish law. In Deuteronomy 22:23 reads that if a man sleeps with another man's wife or sleeps with a woman pledged to be married, or the fact that the woman does not call out for help, then they must die, purging evil from Israel. For Joseph to dismiss Mary publicly was unthinkable. He did not consider her guilty. He was not in a position of not being able to condemn her, and yet he was in that same position to not to be able to fully justify her pregnancy. His options, he found the only one: secretly divorce her. God made a special vessel of this noble Hebrew woman, and not wanting to interfere with God's mysterious purposes, he would set Mary aside. To be obedient to God, Joseph was willing to give up the woman he loved so dearly. Then Joseph had a dream. In Matthew 1:20, we read, "But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Can you imagine the relief for Joseph to hear those very words? For Joseph, that would be his explanation. You see, the word dream means to have a vision in your sleep. Not while you're awake. And back many, many years ago, there was a lot of weight put on visions or dreams. I don't know if we take a lot of stock in our dreams that we have today, but back then it was seen as a way of God speaking to people. When the angel said Joseph, because he was of the house and line of David, we see God's prophetic word being fulfilled and his providence being carried forth, that this child, the child that Mary is carrying, shall be of the house and lineage of David. Joseph is not the true physical father by his marriage to Mary, but he would give Jesus the legal status because he belonged to the house and line of David. The angel then explained to Joseph that he should have no hesitation in taking Mary to be his wife because the pregnancy was of the Holy Spirit. And now for Joseph, now he understands the whole matter had been orchestrated by God. The Lord further instructed Joseph that the child's name shall be Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins in Matthew 1:21. And as verse 25 states, Joseph called the baby Jesus, showing his obedience to God. Matthew goes on in a way to reveal to us that Jesus' virgin birth fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. "The virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Notice the article before the word virgin. Watch carefully. Because when you read Holy Scripture, sometimes it's those small words that can really stand out. He did not speak of a virgin. He spoke of the Virgin Mary. Both Isaiah and Matthew point to a very, very specific person. Joseph is facing with decisions about Mary's baby, and Matthew 1:24-25 says, when Joseph woke up and did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, he took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and then he gave him the name Jesus. What happens next in Joseph's life illustrates what often happens in our lives. Max Lucado, Christian writer, and I'm sure you're aware of who he is, he describes Joseph being that guy caught between what God says and to us what makes sense. Have you ever been caught there in your life that you know God is calling you to do something? And does it make sense to you? Yet, as Max Lucado observes, Joseph did not let confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know everything. He didn't know how things were going to play out. But he did what he knew. God made sure that this plan was going to be carried out to the minutest detail because the purity of Jesus Christ must be protected. This baby must doubtlessly be the son of the Holy Spirit and not the son of Joseph. In chapter 1 of his gospel, Matthew reiterates this so clearly. In verse 18, we read, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, we read, because what is conceived of her is by the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and shall bear a son. And again, as in verse 25, they did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. Jesus was the child of the Almighty God, conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. As for Joseph, Joseph was chosen to be the adoptive father to Jesus Christ. And as such, I see Joseph playing a magnificent role. I've been preaching at Emmanuel for a while, and if you follow my preaching style, you know I always ask questions about Scripture. Never questioning Scripture. I want to be clear on that. But the question is, why Joseph? Why Joseph? To fulfill God's plan, God needed a carpenter. He needed a man who was sturdy. He needed a man who was stable, practical. And yet he needed a man who was so sensitive to the voice of God. He needed a man who would stand silently alongside the young virgin who might have seemed the object of ridicule, and yet who carried in her womb the hope of the world. I see Joseph as strong. Joseph is compassionate. He was able to lead this tiring expedition to Bethlehem, to the stable, and to love and encourage the mother of Christ. Joseph, as the man of the house, was the teacher to give Jesus his first lessons on the law of God. And yet in Jerusalem, when Jesus was 12, it was evident that his first allegiance must be to another father. Joseph was the man, as the man humbly and silently, at that point in his life, he steps back. And it is God who steps forward. I find it so amazing that we have really nothing written down about what Joseph had said. He never spoke a word in the Christmas story. But when we go through these passages of Scripture, I find Joseph speaks so many volumes for each of us. And I think there's so many lessons we can glean from these passages of Scripture this morning. But the one lesson that stands out for us in the life of Joseph is this. The most important thing in the whole world can happen to the least important people of the world. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, can take up residence in the most ordinary of lives. The greatest somebody who ever lived can come to the nobodies like Joseph and Mary. The nobodies, like me and you. Isn't this the very attitude that God requires of us? Lord God, just tell me what to do, and I will do it. I will be obedient any time, any place, anywhere, anything, Lord God. I don't understand it. And God says it doesn't have to make sense. As far as I know, and it's never happened in the history of the world, but if you say it, Lord, I'll do it. Vance Havner once said, you've never really learned a commandment until you've obeyed it. And he goes on to say that the church suffers from Christians which know volumes more than they practice. I think this is such a powerful statement that we need to ask ourselves questions. Allow me this little story. A young man was enjoying a motorcycle ride throughout the English countryside, and during one cold and rainy night, he lost control and he crashed his motorcycle, and he laid injured on the road for many hours before any help had arrived. By the time he was hospitalized, pneumonia had set in, and the doctors had said to him that it was such a serious case of pneumonia that he would have no longer than 2 weeks to live. A letter from his missionary father in Angola arrived. It was written many months before the accident because mail at that time had arrived by ship. The young man opened up the letter and he read his father's opening words, which said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. These words stabbed his heart. As he gathered up all his strength and he kneeled and said, Lord, you've won. I now own you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you heal my body, I will serve you anywhere, anytime, any cost. He recovered and he went on to be one of the most powerful pastor and an evangelist. And God had brought him into a position of significant usefulness through a tragic accident. But most of all, he was willing to say, Lord, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. That's exactly, essentially, to what Jesus said when he was asked to come to earth as our earthly Savior. Lord God, anywhere, anytime, any cost. And if we reflect on the prophetic words of Psalm 47 and 8, then said I too, I do the to come to do thy will, O God. There are also the same words reflected in Hebrews 10, 17. And Mary echoes the same commitment to God after the angel announced that she was to give birth to the Savior of the world. In Luke 1, 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. In other words, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. And when Joseph received the angel's message, he walked away from what made human sense for him to do to what God had asked him to do. Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Are we willing to say that to the Lord? I am willing to serve you anytime, anywhere, at any cost. Long ago, there was that road to Bethlehem, and today it's the road to victory in the life of a true believer. It's a happy day for us when we recognize that we don't truly have to completely understand everything that God is calling for us to do in order to obey. God reserves to give us the knowledge and the understanding of what we need to know as we need to know, and He has the right to reveal to us the rest in His due time. Some of the most exciting things can happen in our lives when we say yes to the things even before we know what we are saying yes to. What happens in the case like that is you know it's from God, and then it unfolds. Someday you should ask this farm boy about the calling that God has placed on his life. The journey that he went through before heeding the call that God has placed on his life. Just think of a moment of what has unfolded from the obedience of Joseph, Mary, and the Lord. It has unfolded in our hearts today. It's made possible for us to say that we can say to our unbelieving friends that this is the Christmas. As we're going through a time of COVID, as we see how the importance of family and how important our faith is to sustain us during these dark days, if you have never trusted Jesus, this is the thing you can say to your neighbors and friends as your Savior as you social distance. You can do that because what Jesus has done. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, what they did was all part of the drama of redemption to make salvation available to every person. Every journey in life, every step we take about expressing our faith has a starting point and it has an end. God meant our lives to be full of joy and purpose. He invites us to take the rest of the journey with him. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's Billy Graham who once said, Jesus demands to be master and Lord of every part of your life. Is he the Lord of your mind? What do you think, read, or believe? Or what do you dream about, meditate on, entertain yourself with? Do your eyes, he said, belong to Christ? Can you ask God's blessing on it? Can you do this to the glory of the God? Then this is the test of a spirit-filled life. Are people seeing more of him and less of me? Joseph and Mary could possibly have never known the eternal things that could have happened because of their obedience. Thank God they obeyed. And most of all, let us thank God for his indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and Heavenly Father, the privilege is ours to share in the loving, healing, obedient calling that you have placed on our lives and the reconciling mission of Jesus Christ our Lord in this age and wherever we are. For without you, O God, we can do no such thing. And so we pray, may your Spirit make us wise. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit renew us. May your Spirit strengthen us so that we may be strong in faith, discerning in proclamation, courage in witness, and persistent in good deeds. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would invite you to please rise for the blessing. Receive the blessing. May the Lord who make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in our love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. Let us go forth in serving, O thou joyful, O thou wonderful.